Hi, this is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and we'll welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. Our feature text this week is Matthew 5, 43 through 44, where Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies." This week, I want to share what I consider to be one of the core elements of Jesus' kingdom teaching, and that's the teaching of enemy love. Enemy love was truly central to the hope that laid before Israel and the events that led up to AD 70. We covered that in the final eight prophecies of Jesus. That was the beginning of our eight-part eSight series. You can find that on our website. It began in September 9th of 2013. And it's just as central to Jesus' followers and the world around us today as well. As we've covered elsewhere, everything within the Jesus movement began to change when the Christian church embraced Constantine in the 4th century, a new theology that enabled the church to embrace the ethics of the Roman Empire, which, by definition, was a rejection of the ethics of the Sermon on the Mount, entered onto the scene through Augustine. And there were others involved, but it's primarily through Augustine. He's the one that gets a lot of the credit. He's the name that's kind of been attached to those changes. And it's perfectly acceptable, Augustine taught, to kill your enemies. This was a direct contradiction to what Jesus taught. Augustine threw in the dualistic approach, though, when he said, not only is it perfectly acceptable to kill your enemy, he said, as long as you love him or your enemy while you're doing it. Augustine presented, again, the dualistic possibility of our bodily actions being radically separate from our inward disposition. You can find that in Chapter 75 of the Antinician Fathers for Augustine. And enemy love, the power of enemy blessing, enemy forgiveness, that's the root out of which Jesus' teachings on nonviolence is the natural growth. Jesus' teachings don't end in greater violence or in justified or redemptive violence. Nonviolence is the actual outward expression of bodily action, of the enemy love that Augustine would have called inward disposition. It's difficult to imagine a scenario where Augustine's teaching could ring true, where you could have an inward disposition of love towards someone while expressing that inward disposition of love through killing the object of such affection. Enemy love, enemy blessing, it's very counterintuitive to many people. But remember, we're called to put on display not the world as it is, but the world as it's changed by the reign of Christ, Earth's new king. We're called to put on display what it looks like and to invite others to embrace Christ as their new king and step into this beautiful new way of doing life in the here and now too. Enemy love is most likely the greatest, most significant, most radical element of what it means to submit to Jesus as Earth's new king. It means to love those that are being threatened equally with those who are doing the threatening. Think of the story in John 8. Jesus loved the Pharisees and the teachers of the law just as much as the woman caught in adultery. Matter of fact, the Pharisees and the teacher of the law, they were committing the sin of accusation. You can find that in Revelation 12:10. And Jesus loved all that were present that day equally. And he sought not simply to save the woman's life, but also to save the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, seeing them as victims as well, victims of a systemic evil. He didn't see the woman as being as in need of being saved from the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He looked at the situation and saw all three, the woman, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law, all three of them as victims being used by and in need of being saved from the real enemy. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 6:12. But notice, Jesus didn't differentiate between the woman and the men accusing her, the men who were threatening her. Jesus saved the woman from them, that's true, but he also saved those accusers from the systemic religiously sanctioned violence by reminding them of their own shortcomings and their own moral failures. And he was basically saying, we're in this together. And what does this mean for us today? Well, it's really easy to want to protect at the expense of those that are threatening. Jesus sought to save all. It means that even when threatened, whether it's our loved ones or ourselves, we're to see those who threaten as victims too. They're objects of God's affection. They are people that Jesus died for. And they're not the enemy. They're simply victims of the real enemy. And as Jesus' followers, we're to endeavor to save them too through the power of enemy love, enemy forgiveness, enemy blessing in nonviolent yet non-cooperative ways, as Jesus put forth in Matthew 5:39-42. Today, the phrase saved by grace is thrown around so loosely, but it's so relevant to what we're talking about this week. And I want to ask you, what is it that Christians really mean by these words? Do Christians mean that we're saved from some punitive retribution from God by grace on God's part as a result of his punishing his son in our own place? Or could it be that we are saved, and remember the word for saved can also be healed, so that we're saved or healed through grace really on our part for our enemies that we've learned from God, rather than demanding punitive retribution and retaliation against them. Jesus taught, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not respond to an evil person in retaliation. And Jesus also said that he was sent by a loving God so that the world might be healed rather than condemned. Again, in John 3:17, the word for saved there can also be translated, and is also translated, healed in the rest of the New Testament. We, when Jesus came to this planet, we as humanity, human beings, we were on a path of retributive justice, of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus clearly tells us that this is the path that ends in death in Matthew 7:12-14. An eye for an eye, Gandhi said, leaves the whole world blind, and he got it from Jesus. It was Jesus who originally taught that. Retribution only escalates. Violence only escalates. And Jesus came to teach us of the way of grace. And it's this grace, this way of enemy love, it's the way of God that heals this world. He came to turn us from retribution to grace, from punitive justice to the restorative justice of his kingdom. And so, are we saved by grace? Absolutely. But not in the sense that it implies we're saved from some violence on God's part by grace on God's part because he has got his pound of flesh somewhere else. We're saved, or we're healed, from the path of violence that we're on and the path of retaliation by embracing this new way that God is bringing us, is giving us, this new way of love, this new way of grace, even toward our enemies, a way of enemy forgiveness and blessing. We're saved from the intrinsic, ever-escalating, and ultimately self-inflicted annihilation, which is the intrinsic end of our violent path, through learning to practice grace on our part for our own enemies through faith and the ability of love to heal the world. For most people, being saved by grace just simply means you've embraced God's forgiveness for your own sins, where Jesus taught that what it means to be saved by grace is that we embrace God's grace also as a way of life for ourselves, the way that we also want to live and to relate to the world around us. So again, are we saved by grace? Absolutely we are. And grace is what we must learn. Life is an adventure in learning the path of grace. And the path of grace is our only hope. As I've said before, the elder brother and the prodigal son was not excluded that night because he could not embrace the father's grace for himself. He was left in utter darkness that night because he couldn't embrace his father's grace for someone else that he believed should be excluded, someone he felt superior to, or someone he considered to be his enemy. We're not saved by grace from imposed penalties. We're saved by grace from the intrinsic end of the path of retaliation rather than grace. And learning to embrace and practice grace, even for those who have hurt us the most, it really is the way back home. It's not just a means of salvation. It could be salvation itself. In the heart group application this week, number one, this week I want you to ask yourself, who is your brother or your sister? Is it only those who share the same beliefs, the same ethics, the same lifestyle, same behaviors as you? Or could it include your enemies? And the reason I'm asking this is I want you to prayerfully contemplate the following two statements from the early church. This is from Justin's First Apology, chapter 11. Justin Martyr said, We used to hate and destroy one another and refuse to associate with people of another race or country. Now, because of Christ, we live together with such people and pray for our enemies. Lactantius in Divine Institutes, Book 6, Chapter 10, writes, "If we all derive our origin from one man, whom God created, we are plainly all of one family. Therefore, it must be considered an abomination to hate another human, no matter how guilty he may be. For this reason, God has decreed that we should hate no one, but that we should eliminate hatred, so we can comfort our enemies by reminding them of our mutual relationship. For if we have all been given life by the same God, then what else are we but brothers? Because we are brothers, God teaches us never to do evil to one another, but only good, giving aid to those who are oppressed and experiencing hardship, and giving food to the hungry." Go back, number two, go back and reread Matthew 5, 38 through 48. And ask yourself, in as much honesty and humility as you can muster this week, ask yourself, what is God saying to you in these passages? And write down anything that God gives you, both in number one and number two, as you do these. And number three, I want you to be prepared to share whatever insights that Jesus gives you this week with your heart group as you guys meet together. Lastly, I know I do, but if you're out there listening, and you want to learn how to love your enemies more fully and more deeply, here's a word of wisdom that I found invaluable ever since it was first shared with me. This week, don't focus on loving or forgiving your enemies. Focus on, rather, how much God loves and has forgiven you. And the more you dwell on this, the more loving, the more forgiving you'll become. Because it really is, it's by love that love is awakened, and it's by forgiveness that forgiveness for others is set in motion. Keep living in love, loving like Christ, and putting on display what the world changed by the reign of Jesus looks like. It's a radical, beautiful world if we can only see it, till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. I love you guys. I'll see you next week.